Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we're so grateful to call you Father tonight. We are so thankful to be called your children. And Father, we're looking to hear words that bring heaven to earth. And we thank you, Father, for giving us the best life. We are so, so appreciative. We can look back and see where we were when you found us. And we say, we're so grateful. We are so grateful. Thank you for giving us the best and the greatest purpose to live for. And Father, we love your will. We love and delight to do your will. It is our complete delight. And we just want you to know we're hungry for more. We're reaching for more. And we thank you for not leaving us like you found us. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. You can be seated. There's some items back at the book table. Most of you probably have it. They sent this one with us. Angels are yours working for you. This is by my husband. And I think of anybody that I've ever listened to, that man saw more angels than anyone I've ever heard of. We would have to say William Branham saw and referred often to the angels he saw, but it seems more often than not it was a particular angel that he saw that worked with him. Ed saw many at different times, and of all the men I've ever heard testimony of, as far as I know, he saw more, and he saw more than what he even talked about. There were times that he held much of that to himself until you brought up something, and then he'd tell you all about it. And so he would be authorized to speak on this, is why I said all that. It's not that we're trying to say that's impressive what he saw, but it's in connection with his office. But you do have to have some experience to teach well on it. And so he had experience with that. So angels are yours working for you. And then we have this one. It's such an important book, The Greatness of God's Power. Amen. Learning how to be skillful with the power of God in everyday life. And if we're not careful, we'll just relegate the power of God to a service. But God brings us together to demonstrate his power so that we'll know what he'll do for us during the week. And so this is how to cooperate and become skillful with the power of God in everyday life. And then we also have this one. It's such an important book for you, Following the Holy Spirit. And so those are out there. They'll be a blessing to you. If you don't have them, get hold of them. And hallelujah. I intended to come to these meetings with one direction in mind, but the first night the Holy Ghost seemed to change it, and I thought, well, I wouldn't be very smart to try to change the direction now. And so how about we just dive in together? And he just started putting stuff in my heart, and I'll let you be the first to feed on it and tell me how it eats. Yes. You know, it's like, does it set well or not, you know? And he started dealing with us about finances. Because we need tweaking up here. We need tweaking. When we look at something and our first thought is how much it costs, we're not there yet. I remember somebody was saying that God showed them something in connection with our ministry of something God was going to do, something God was going to bring into our hands, something of great value. And the first thing they said to themselves is, boy, that's going to cost a lot. If that is your first thought, you're not ready for it. You're not ready for it. Because your first thought has to be, that's so easy for God. That's so easy for God. And when we are our first thought and the price is our first thought, we're thinking naturally. The first thought has to be, is God in it? Can I tell you the greatest adventures and the greatest things you'll ever hear in life are connected with these words, God said. God said to me. God said to me this. God said to me, that's my house. God said to me, start that business. The greatest adventures in your life begin with the words, God said, not how much does it cost.
Amen.
Amen. And so our important thing of living the life that God authored for us is always to follow what God says.
Amen.
Follow the leading of the Spirit. You can only have faith for what the Spirit leads you into. Now, He always leads you into the Word, so anything with the Word you can have faith for. But when it comes to the specifics of your life, you're going to have to follow the leading of the Spirit, or you won't be able to have faith for it.
Amen.
You can't look at what God did for somebody else and say, I'm going to do that, or I'm going to have that. You can if God says it. Amen. And so we have to make sure that if our mind immediately goes to the cost of something, we're not ready. We're not big enough inside for it yet. And there have been times my son and I, Stephen and I, have talked about different things that God has said to us and said that He's going to bring to us and work for us. And Stephen will say, and we both converse about this, is we're not at that place yet. Because there has to be more than one thing in place for that. And you can tell when there's some more things that need to be in place. Just because we want something to happen now doesn't mean we're ready for it. And God doesn't want to bring us into something that we're not ready for, because then what was meant to bless us becomes a hardship. And so don't get in a rush through faith and patience. We inherit what He says is ours. And why is He patient for? He's not patient just because time takes long. He's patient because it takes long many times for us to think right. He's waiting for our thinking to come in line.
Amen.
So that we don't abort what He has planned for us.
Amen.
And so notice this. We are all experiencing prosperity to the level of our thinking. Today,
amen.
We are prospering to the level of our thinking. So if we're not prospering more, then that shows we have opportunity to do something more with the way we think. Because when you think right, giving is not an issue for you. When you think right, it's not about dollars, cents. It's not about the price anymore. And you have to understand this. God isn't really interested in price. God, price means nothing to God. He doesn't consult with price before He speaks to us about something. And He doesn't consult your wallet to give Him permission.
All right. Come on, man.
Yes.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Can I tell you what God considers when He speaks something to us? Purpose. What's the purpose of this? God... everything with God is attached to purpose.
Amen.
Purpose. Pastor Jeff quoted the scripture, as a man purposes in his heart, so let him give. Can I tell you, don't give to a need, give to a purpose.
Amen.
You're going to one day, whether it's building a building of your own or wherever God has this congregation to go next, it's not about the structure. And if you're not careful, everything becomes about what is being built instead of the purpose of why it's being built.
Amen.
And that's what keeps the race easy, is when you keep your eye on the purpose instead of on the process.
Amen.
And a renewed mind goes right to the purpose. Right to the purpose. And... when God's talking about building to a church, to a congregation, He's thinking of the people that are going to be the space and the room that's going to be made available for people with needs.
Amen.
And how He's going to meet them there.
Amen.
That's what He thinks about.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. But if we're not, what we think about is, oh my gosh, the problem with the city. Oh my gosh, and how much is it going to cost? Oh my gosh, what's this going to do to my giving? How much is Pastor going to expect me to give now? You know, You see, it's not about the need, it's about the purpose. The purpose. As a man purposes in his heart. Why? Because we need to be concerned about the... Let a man purpose in his heart. Why? Because God takes care of the need. My God shall supply all your need. The need's already handled on God's end. God says, the need I'll take care of if you'll stay true to the purpose.
Amen.
So we have to think right. Amen. So, and of course, we're told this, 3 John, right? Yes. Beloved, I wish above all things thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers, even as you think right, to the degree that you think right.
Yes.
Prosperity is a thinking issue.
Amen.
It's a thinking right issue. And I'm just saying, if you see somebody spend money in a way and you choke over it, then you're not ready for the level they're at.
Amen.
And then don't be critical of people
Amen.
who think to a level that's different than your level.
Amen.
We're not authorized to say they shouldn't have that.
Amen.
Because if they have it, they have thinking in line with it.
Amen. Amen.
So anytime you say somebody shouldn't have that, that's too much, that's too excessive, that's too much money to spend, basically you're saying your level of thinking is choking me. And that's what the renewed mind hears if you say that.
Amen.
And God wants us all to live this life without dollar signs being the movement of the brain. When everything is so focused on how much, don't worry about it. You need to back off. You need to back off. You're in a place that's not joyful for you anymore. Right? I don't mean that as an insult. I'm just saying God wants it to be a joy to us. And so we have to think right. We have to think right. It's not about money. It's about obedience. I just want to obey. I want to obey what everything is in my heart. Amen. And God gives us some things to think about. If you go to Haggai chapter 2, go with me. We'll look at a few verses just because it helps us to talk and think about the greatness of God and the grandness of God. Haggai chapter 2, verse 7. If you need to, look in your index. So, 'cause many of us probably don't live in Haggai about every day. That's all right. Just wherever it is, go find it. Chapter 2, verse 7. And we're going to read verses 7 through 9. It says, "And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts." Verse 8, "The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts." Well, when it says in verse 9, "the glory of the latter house shall be greater than the former," I wonder if verse 8 has something to do with that. The gold and the silver. Yeah. And then go with me to Psalms chapter 50. I like this one. You hear a little bit of God's personality. Psalm chapter 50, and I'm going to read out of the Amplified, so if you have a device that lets you throw it into the Amplified, you might want to read along with me in the Amplified. Psalm chapter 50 and verse 10. Psalm chapter 50 and verse 10. The Amplified says, I like this so much, God speaking. He said, "For every beast of the forest is mine. And the cattle upon 1,000 hills or up on the mountains where thousands are."
Amen.
Verse 11, I know and acquainted with all the birds of the mountains, and the wild animals of the field are mine and are with me in my mind. Verse 12, meaning this, he thinks large. When his mind can contain all that exists. Verse 12, if I were hungry, I would not tell you. For the world and its fullness are mine. The world and its fullness. Now, we need to notice something here. This makes a distinction between the world and the fullness. Two different things. The world and the fullness are mine. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4:4, the word says Satan is the god of this world. It didn't say he's the god of the world and the fullness. God said, the world is mine and the fullness. Meaning this, God still, he's the fullness is his because he's the creator of it. Now, Satan is the god of this world, but if we want to state it correctly, he's god of this world system. But notice this, God said, let me see where the reference is. It's in Psalm 115, verse 16. I'll just read it to you. He said, the heaven is the Lord's, but the earth he has given to the children of men. How can he give it to the children of men? Because it was his. It's his to give. It's his to give. So he's showing us what all he's given us. All the silver, all the gold, all the cattle on a thousand hills. All of it's his. I love the mindset of this. A man asked Dad Hagen, a minister, asked Dad Hagen, and you know, just as a courtesy, said, Dad, do you need anything? Is there anything you need me to do for you? He said, if I did need anything, I wouldn't tell you. Yeah. Why? Faith knows where to talk.
Amen.
If you want to prosper, don't say words that let people know you need something. Amen. To try to be a financial con. A faith con. Let's put that. To say things. God said, if I needed something, I wouldn't tell you.
Amen.
I'm just trying to read these verses so we start thinking large. Thinking large. I don't know that I have it. I don't think I didn't bring it in this thing. But I've been reading on several occasions, the Bible listed the wealth of Solomon. There are certain passages. For 39 years he was king. And it said, just to begin with, that every year he received, two tons of gold every year. But it calculated out, when you calculated through 39 years, no, it was 50,000 pounds, 25 tons of gold a year, each year. And it calculated out through 39 years of him being king, 1,950,000 pounds of gold. And it says, and the silver had no value. Why? There was so much of it that it wasn't even counted as value. I looked and they did a study to see what Solomon's worth would be like in today's terms. And they said he would be worth, him personally, $2.2 trillion. And then there's a scripture that says that God gave him largeness of heart. Ah! Largeness of heart breaks ceilings off, limits off. The Amplified said God gave him breadth of mind. Means no limits up here. No limits. I'm reading these scriptures because I want you to know no limits. No limits. No limits. Don't let your economy and the things you're acquainted with dictate how far God can take you.
Amen.
Don't decide just what your parents had or what your family has and decide you're dismissed.
Come on. Amen.
You know how far He can take you, as large as you'll go.
Amen.
As large as you will go. As large as you will think. Amen. So Satan is called the god of this world. So with through the world system, he tries to affect the fullness and hold on to it and keep it from reaching our hands. But Jesus told Dad Hagin what to do. Tell Satan, take your hands off of it. Take your hands off of it. Why? Because God didn't give it. The word says God gave the earth to the children of men. We know that Satan turned his authority, Adam turned the authority over to the devil, but Jesus gave it back.
Right.
He gave it back.
Amen.
He gave it back.
Hallelujah.
Why? Because he wants it under our control.
Yes.
Why? And God, Jesus told Brother Hagin, he says, I didn't create all this stuff for the devil and his kids. I created it for my people.
Amen. That's right.
The gold, the silver that God is the creator of.
Amen.
He did that for our benefit. The cattle on a thousand hills, or all the hills that hold thousands.
Yeah.
As the Amplified says, it's for us. It's for us.
Amen.
I said, it's for us. But can I tell you who the us is? The us with his purpose.
Amen.
Not the us with their own purpose. Matthew chapter 6, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. You understand that? So God is giving us the opportunity to hook up with him. And if we hook up with his purpose, then all that he placed on the earth is for his purpose. Everything he put on this earth is for his purpose. And if we will approach everything we do with purpose instead of with need. A mentality of purpose instead of mentality of need. And so many people live need-minded when we need to live purpose-minded.
Yes.
I have a teaching called Faith for the Task.
Yes.
And what that's talking about is it doesn't matter to me what something is going to cost. I'm just going to believe for the task to be completed. Whenever Ed went home to be with the Lord and there was the building, the Bible school building that was left partially finished, we had to finish it. They told us it would be about $400,000 to finish. So we got everything in place for that to happen. But as we got into it, another $20,000 this day, another $20,000 this day, we were up to another $100,000. And every time they would come and say, Pastor Nancy, they says they need $20,000 to put this sidewalk in. I said, then do it. Then do it. Well, we didn't plan that money. And God planned it because he planned for this to be finished. So God planned it. That means the money's available. Just tell him to do it. Just do it. Quit being chintzy, you know. And I put the nicest finishes in it. I put everything in it, the nicest. Why? Because God knew that when he told my husband to build the building, he was going to let us set the standard. And God's supply will meet our standard. And if you want to keep the standard low, he'll meet you there. But if you want it to be everything that your heart that expresses it's in your heart, he'll meet you there.
Amen.
And I mean, another 100,000 came in and we don't even quite know where it came from. It just came in. Why? Because we were moving by task and purpose.
Yes.
We weren't moving by budget. I don't care what the budget says. If they said we got to do it, do it. Don't gripe. Don't get down there and quabble over. When you quabble over money, you minimize yourself.
Amen.
I'm not. If they say it, that's fine. That's fine. Just pay it. Just do it. Let's get the thing done. Let's just get the thing done. Let me tell you some things that'll help choke you. Why? Because people, well, God's not wasteful, but I want you to know this. God moves by purpose. And sometimes we call things waste when God calls it purpose. Now, what can that mean? Do you know God will have you to, well, let me just say this. Let me do it this way. When God told my kids They owned a home, and God said, there's another home for you. He told them to move out of the home they were in. The reason is, and they moved in with us. That was fine. Our home was certainly big enough that they had their own, to where we had plenty of room. But why did he tell them to get out of the home that they owned? Because it's so easy to stay where you're at. And he wanted to get them in our home because they did not want to live there and set roots down there. He wanted it to feel temporary. And so he told them to move in with us. And here they had a house that was empty for a while. But God told them. Why? Because God will say things just to get us unrutted. And do things just to get you thinking and get you stirred up enough. But their reach would not be near as aggressive sitting in a home they already owned. Well, it doesn't make sense to not be in a home you already own. God's not doing things that make sense. He's doing things that fulfill purpose.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
So, when Ed went home to be with the Lord, God enabled me to pay off nearly every debt we had personally, except a house, you know. And so, I'm the type, I'm not a huge, huge shopper. I just end up doing it mainly online. Just deliver it. You know, just deliver it. And that way I can get the right size, the right color, the right everything. I don't have to go by what you stock. And so so I would, you know, order things or buy things for me or for the home, whatever. And I'd put it on a credit card, but I had the money to pay the credit card. But now I'm going to talk and tilt, go send some of you on tilt. But every time the credit card bill would come, God would say, don't pay it. I had the money. Don't pay it. That went on for about 3 years. Don't pay it. I kept buying. You understand? Why? I had the money. I wasn't living beyond my means. I had the money. And I kept buying. I said, God knows I'm going to keep buying myself stuff. I like stuff. I like stuff. You know, some don't. That's fine. Yeah. I do. Yeah. And I wasn't living beyond my means. I had the money for it. But every time God would say, don't pay off the credit cards. I'm paying interest. With money sitting there, I'm just paying interest. God would say, pay the minimum. That's it. That's all I want you paying. That's all I want you paying. Money sitting there to pay it off, and I'm paying it. Well, that's not God. That's not good business. God's working for purpose. You're working for money. If God says it, it has a purpose. And God was having me to pay interest when I had the money there. Why? Because he's got a purpose in mind. You understand what I'm talking about? When Ed had it in his heart to build the building that we're now in, he tried to get loans for it, and no one would touch us because there was no building on the property. Right. He said, I know, that's why I'm trying to build a building. Yeah. But you know the banks. Yeah. If you don't have a building, we don't give you money for a building. Yeah. All right. Yeah. So there was, the only thing he could go with was one program that had extremely high interest. And people say, We have talked to pastors who said that was the only way we could have gone, but we weren't going to do it because we weren't going to pay that high interest. We're a steward. No, you've left purpose. You're just protecting money apart from what the purpose is. You put the money above the purpose. And that's why you didn't build when God opened up that avenue for you. Because so what if they charge high interest? It's going to get us in our purpose. We will pay whatever we have to pay to get into our purpose.
Come on. Wow. Come on.
Amen.
Come on.
We have watched, through the years, my husband and I have watched churches never move on because the pastor was saving money.
I'm
not called to save money. I'm not called to save money. That has nothing to do with what my assignment is. I am not called to save money. I'm called to run a race and fulfill a purpose. I'm here to fulfill the heavenly vision.
Amen.
Amen.
And if you want to say that what I do And the way I handle money is not real wise financially. I'm not trying to be wise financially. I'm fulfilling a purpose. The purpose means more. Money comes and goes. Money comes and goes. A purpose is the thing you're born for. You're not born for money. You're not born for money. But most people make every decision based on money. How many of you would have kept paying interest on credit cards when you had the money sitting there? Your mind would have gone on tilt and you go, I'm not paying interest, and you would have paid it and missed God. You understand that?
Amen.
I'm talking, this went on for 3 years, and I'm accumulating some good credit card numbers. Why? Because I'm not stopping. Just God didn't tell me stop. And then one day, God spoke to me when the kids were working on their deal, and they needed money. I mean, within days, I got it all. There it is, baby. There it is. There it is. And I still got the credit card debt. But you know what? Can I tell you what God said to me? He said, prosperity is not just about yours. Prosperity. Prosperity is about you helping someone else get theirs. Then he said this to me. He said, in the future, someone's going to have to put themselves on the line financially for you. Now, I don't know who that is and when that is and how that is. But he said, in the future, I'm going to tell somebody to do something for you, and it's going to put them on the line financially. And he said, if you don't sow that, putting yourself on the line for someone else, you won't reap it. Someone will not be able to put themselves on the line for you financially if you won't put yourself on the line for someone else. And you say, you're putting yourself at risk. No, because anytime I obey God, there's no risk. There is no risk. The risk is in disobeying. Let me tell you where the risk is: paying off the credit cards when God said not to. There's the risk. It doesn't make sense. Now, don't misunderstand me. The thing is, there's coming a time when me or my kids won't have to have any kind of loan, anything. But how, when it, as God is taking us to that place, we have to obey Him every step in toward that. It makes better financial sense. This is what you do. When you have credit cards, you only pay, you only charge as much as you have money for.
Right.
Unless the Spirit says something.
Amen.
Now, I'm not telling you go out and run up your credit cards. Don't you? Don't you say that. I'm just saying this. I was following the leading of the Spirit. You understand that? Then I was able to help them in a measure. But I tell you what. It wasn't my money that got them in. They had miracle after miracle after miracle that God did. Apart from that. And I told God, I said, I obeyed you. I was willing to pay what I didn't owe. I didn't owe that interest. Because I had the cash. I could have, I did, but I paid that interest to bless my family. And I said, I expect you to make it up for me. How will he in my future? I'm telling you this, to debt free is where we're headed. But if we don't obey where we're at, we don't get where we're headed. There was I got a phone call from someone, and they're not someone, precious, precious people, but not someone that's been taught what we've been taught. And they hit a hard financial place, and they called me on two separate occasions and said, we're in an emergency financially, and we're asking you to, if you can give us some money. And I said, you know, I always check my spirit. Because I don't go by need. I check my spirit. I don't go by emotion. And God told me to do it. And I said, God, it'll take me to the bottom financially. I mean, that will run through everything I've got available to me. And he said, they don't know what you know about faith, so you're not at the bottom. He said, they had faith enough to call you. And he said, I will meet that measure of faith. And he said, but you have faith enough to talk to me, and I'll meet that measure of faith. What's that mean? God would let me go to the bottom financially to help someone else get off the bottom. What am I saying this? Prosperity is not just about yours. Prosperity is you're interested in someone else's success or you're not prosperous. When all you care about is you and yours, you're not prosperous. You don't have the right mentality. Because God may at times put you on the line. I'm talking about in the natural. Yeah. In the natural. Put you on the line for someone else's blessing. Yeah. Why? Because he's developing something in you. Yeah. He's got a purpose for that. Yeah. Do you know that the purpose of God having me to help my kids the way I did and help people that were not my family the way I did? You want to know why? He's working purpose in me. Yeah. He's working experience of walking with God, hearing from the Holy Ghost. And that, can I tell you what faith is? Experience. Yes. It's experience. Amen. 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 Now there's going to come a day I'm going to have so much, baby. But I'm saying you have to be willing to obey him fully when it looks like you don't have enough. You still have to be willing to obey him fully. Why? Because God has a purpose. He's working in you. He's working in you. He's working in you. He's working in you. And that's why now people are walking up and giving me large checks. Why is that? Because I was willing to obey him. That when it looked like it was putting me on the line, he was putting me on another level.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We have to think right. I said we have to think right. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. What's that mean? What he says is first. Not what you calculated is first. What he says is first. Now, you say that doesn't make sense that God would put you on the line for someone else. Jesus is the Savior, not you. It's the faith line. Not the salvation line, the faith line. Really, would God take yours and give it to someone else? No, he wouldn't take it, but he would ask.
Yes.
And instruct. Not, I, that's not even right. He would command.
Yeah.
I'm his. Yeah. He doesn't have to ask.
That's right.
I'm his to command.
That's right. Amen.
I'm his servant.
Yes.
You don't ask a servant. That's why they're called the commandments,
yeah.
Not the askings, not the 10 askings. They're called the 10 commandments. Well, you got scripture for what you just told us. There was a widow woman in Zarephath.
Yeah. Come on.
In Zidon.
Come on now. Come on.
Yeah, and she was out gathering sticks. She had enough for one meal for her and her son, starving widow, starving son.
Come on.
And the prophet comes and says, make a cake for me first. I just haven't. She said, I don't have any. I'm going to make some for me and my son. Then that's it. There's no more. No, you had some. You were just talking about you had already plans for that. Just because you have plans for it doesn't mean it's not available. She had plans for that last bit, and God still saw it as his to command. Because he said, I have commanded a widow woman there. I didn't ask her. I have commanded a widow woman there. Anything that's yours is his to command. And just because you budgeted and calculated that you're going to give this much to the church and this much to your house and this much, and then God starts dealing with your numbers. And you say, I don't have that. Yes, you do. Yes,
come
you
on,
do. You have to take your plans off of it.
Amen.
And God put her down to nothing.
Yes. Come on.
Why? He had a purpose.
Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
He took the last amount that belonged to a widow, not even a woman with a husband, a widow. Isn't God just hard? That's what people think many times. He was being good, not hard. Find a widow woman with a starving baby. Take their last little bit. That's called putting yourself on the line. And that was God's plan. And why? He had a purpose. I want to feed her for the rest of my life. Why? Why did he find a widow woman to do it? Because God's the husband of the widow. He's got wives in the earth he's taking care of. Yeah, he didn't find a woman who had a husband. She already had a head of the house. But this woman, her head was God. And he says, I have a purpose to take care of those that are widows, you see. So he took what most men would say, I can't believe the man, a grown man would go in and take a widow woman and a starving child's last meal for themselves. Now give that to the media. Let them report on that. That would be all over the news, all over every news app, right? Wouldn't it? That this preacher is stealing from widows and taking their last for themselves. Why? Because most people don't think in terms of purpose. God's movement is always in terms of purpose. When he instructs you to give, there's a purpose connected to it. As a man purposes, know the purpose. Amen. So Matthew 6 is our purpose. It talks to us about our purpose. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Anything with his kingdom, that's our purpose. And his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. The Amplified says, but seek, aim at, strive after, first of all, his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right. His way, remember this, his way of doing and being right. His way of doing and being right. So his way of doing, he's excited and thrilled about what he's doing. Amen. If we're going to hook up with his kingdom, we better have that same excitement. Yeah. If you're not excited to be part of what he's doing, you're not in righteousness. You're not walking in righteousness. Amen. Every one of us are made righteous, but we have to walk in it. Mm-hmm. We have to walk in it. Praise the Lord. Now, many are disappointed financially in the body of Christ. They're disappointed. Many are struggling financially. It just seems like they have barely enough. And why is that? They give and they give and they give, but they still struggle financially. Well, I love what Pastor Jeff was reading. A lot of people are wanting something and they haven't sown properly. And you've heard me tell this, but this is in keeping with where I want to go, so I want to tell it again. The time that my dad would go once or twice a day at least to go to all his farms. And all his farms were scattered throughout the county because it's very difficult to get plots of land together. It belongs to families, and it has been in generations, and they'll pass it to family members. So it's very difficult to get it out of the hands of family members, you know. And so when farms would come available, it didn't matter. They didn't have to be anywhere in close proximity. He would buy them if it was good land. And so he would have to, you know, take time during the day to travel to all the different places that were his farms throughout the county. And so he thrived on going and looking. His purpose was very clear to him. I mean, it was all about the land. He loved the land. And so when we got to go home with him, now growing up, we weren't interested. But after we got away from home and came back, we loved going with him, and because Daddy came alive when he talked about the land. Well, see, that's what seeking first will do for you. It makes you come alive. Seeking first, you come alive over those things. And that's the way God wants our approach to be towards what he's doing in the earth. I mean, we need to be thrilled. If it's God's program, we need to be thrilled. And we get thrilled on purpose. We choose to be thrilled about it. Amen. And so one day he said to Ed, you want to go with me? I'm going to go check the farms. Ed said, I'd love to. So they get in the farm. And Ed always wanted to be a cowboy and a farmer. I mean, that was really what he always, in his heart of hearts, wanted to be, was a cowboy and a farmer. And so he appreciated all that my dad knew. My dad had so much wisdom with his profession and was so good at it. And so they were driving out to the farm, and they came up to one of the farms, and Ed said to Daddy, he said, Kenneth, isn't it just something? He said, you plant a seed and you get a harvest. And Daddy looked at him and said, that's not true. That's not true. It's not true. And he said, what do you mean that's not true? Because you see, what we do is when we read the word, we read it on top sometimes. And he said, that's not true. He said, see this farm over here? He said, that man planted a seed. Look at his harvest. He said, he doesn't take care of his farm. He doesn't tend to it. He neglects it. He said, his harvest is sorry. My dad, that was his word. That's sorry. That's sorry land over there. That's a sorry harvest. That was his favorite word. That's sorry. He said, he's a sorry farmer, and that's his sorry harvest. He had good seed, but got a sorry harvest. Because people just get this idea, sow a seed, God will pay me back, I get rich. How come then you ain't? If that's right thinking. But see, people just hear parts of this prosperity flow. And they hear the easy part. Just sow a seed and you're going to get a harvest. There's the process of prepping the ground. There's the, first of all, there's a process of finding the good ground. That was a process for my dad to seek out the land. Because you could have a good seed, but if it was sorry land, it didn't matter how good the seed was.
That's right.
So there's a process to prosperity. Number one, you got to find good ground. Number two, you got to plant good seed. You plant sorry seed, you get sorry harvest. So you want to plant good seed. What's a good seed? The seed of your heart. The seed of what your heart is telling you to do. Not your mind. Don't plant a mental seed, plant a heart seed. What came out of your heart? And can I tell you this? Don't ever buy into this. Preachers will say things like this. Don't ever buy into stuff. If there's two figures that come to you at offering time, the big one's God's, the little one's the devil's. That's a lie. That's a lie. That's not true. You know what the right number is? The one that came out of your heart. That's the right number. Because the devil, I've seen and I've had the devil try to tell me to give something that God wasn't telling me to give because he was trying to pilfer money out of the account my faith wasn't ready for. I've had the devil bombard me to try to get me to give a certain amount that was way beyond what my faith could handle. Why? He wanted to empty my account under the guise of sowing. Don't ever buy into those click phrases that preach good and sound good, but they're not word-based. There's nothing in the word that says that. That the big amount's God's, the little amount's the devil's. That's not word-based. And so you have to find good ground. The next thing is you have to have good seed. What's the good seed? What's in your heart? What is the Spirit leading you to do? Now we know this. You don't need the leading of the Spirit to give you tithe. Because you have the word on that.
Amen.
So after you have good seed, you plant it. Then, while that seed is growing, you tend to it. Amen. And then you harvest it. So, it's not just about put seed in the ground, walk off, and you come back, and you got a miracle harvest. It doesn't take long. Once you found the ground, it takes a moment to plant a seed. And it takes a moment to harvest a seed. All right. Where's the passing of time? In the growing. In the tending to the seed. This is where people gain or lose their harvest is in that passing of time of what did you do after you planted the seed. Where did you go? How were you living? What did you say? What did you think? All of those things are you tending to the seed. Why? Because you're dealing with the ground of your heart. Praise the Lord. Now I'm talking to us because so many Christians are living disappointed financially. They're giving and they're giving and they're faithful and they're precious people and they want to obey God and they're giving, but they're still barely making it. There's a reason. There's a reason. We need to find out that reason and quit living with barely enough. We need to do some examining. Amen. Hallelujah. Giving does not automatically result in prosperity. You better learn that. Giving is a spiritual transaction. You understand that? It's a spirit. You think it's just financial. But because it's the purpose is with the kingdom of God in mind, the purpose makes it spiritual. Money is a financial thing. It's a financial commodity, right? But when you hook it to a purpose that's spiritual, now it becomes a spiritual transaction, not just a financial transaction. Understand that? Is money spiritual? No. Money's not spiritual until it's hooked up to a spiritual purpose. Because it's all about purpose.
That's right.
So, giving doesn't automatically result in prosperity because giving is a spiritual transaction. Now, since giving, when it's hooked up to the kingdom of God, becomes a spiritual transaction, you know what that demands? That you be spiritual. Can't be carnal. And get the prosperity harvest that you're looking for. Yet be spiritual. Well, praise the Lord. Job chapter 22. Seeing how far I want to go tonight. And because if the Holy Ghost allows us, we can finish up tomorrow night. And I don't want to try to cram everything into tonight. But Job chapter 22, verse 21. It says this, acquaint now thyself with him, with God, and be at peace. Now notice this, your peace level is connected to how much you're acquainted with him. How well you know him. How do you know him? By his word. Acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. So your peace level is dictated by that. Thereby, good shall come. Good shall come. Good shall come unto thee. Notice this, you won't have to chase things. Yeah. Isn't this kind of sound like, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. They're just added. If things aren't being added, then we're not hooked up to the kingdom right. Something's lacking in the way we're approaching the kingdom. So thereby good shall come unto thee. I like what the Amplified says of that verse. Acquaint now yourself with God. Agree with God. Show yourself to be conformed to his will. How do you show yourself to be conformed? You do it. Amen. You do his word.
Amen.
He's talking about be a doer of the word.
Right.
If you're agreeing with God, you're a doer of the word. If you're not if you're not doing what he says because you don't agree.
That's right.
A woman walked up to Dad Hagen one time and said to him, can you tell me why God won't heal me? Can you tell me why God won't heal me? And he said, well, yeah, I can. You haven't agreed with him yet. Because all people who agree, they receive it. He said, why haven't you agreed with him? She goes, why? I want to be healed. He said, no, you have to agree you are healed. You're not agreeing that you are healed. That's why you're not healed. You're not agreeing with him. You're disagreeing. That's what this says. Acquaint now yourself with him. Agree. People that are acquainted with God are agreeing. They're not arguing. Acquaint yourself with God. Agree with him. Show yourself to be conformed to his will. That means if you're acquainted with God, you're doing his word. Right? Show yourself to be conformed to his will and be at peace. By that you shall prosper and great good shall come to you. You shall prosper when you're acquainted with God.
Yes.
If we're sowing and sowing and we're just barely enough, we're not acquainted yet.
Right.
We're missing out on something.
Yeah.
We're missing out on some knowing. How do you become acquainted with him? You come to know someone. You don't know how they operate. The more acquainted you are, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, when Ed and I, you know, when we first got married, we knew each other to a level. But after almost 30 years of marriage, I could be at dinner with Ed and other people and somebody say something and I would see Ed's face. I go, I know what he's getting ready to say. And I'm kicking him under the table. Don't you go there. Don't you go there. Why? I'm acquainted with him. I know what he thinks. Yeah, there were times. Verse 22, receive, I pray thee, the law from his mouth, and lay up his words in thine heart. Receive the law from his mouth. Lay up the words in thine heart. So this is all part of the process of knowing him. If thou return to the Almighty, thou shalt be built up. Thou shalt put away iniquity far from thy tabernacles. Then thou shalt lay up gold as dust. Wow. Wow. And the gold and the stones of the brook. Verse 25. Yea, the Almighty shall be thy defense, and thou shalt have plenty of silver.
Yeah.
Notice God was talking all the gold and all the silver is mine. And this way he's talking about gold and silver. It's acquainted with knowing. But look at this. Look at this part of knowing God in verse 23. If thou return to the Almighty, thou shalt be built up. Look at this. Thou shalt put away iniquity far from thy tabernacles.
Yeah.
You got to put anything, any wrongdoing far from, far. You can't be near it. You got to be far from it. Far from it. Now, can I tell you what that is? Getting far away from anything that's wrong. Can I tell you what that is? That's called tending to the seed that you planted. That's called tending to the seed. You can't plant the seed, then go off on Friday night and do what you want to do. Be where you want to be. Say what you want to say. Drink what you want to drink. Do all what you want to do. And then so I'm going to get prosper. I'm going to become prosperous because I planted seed. No, you're not, because you're not tending to the seed. Not ten.
Amen.
Why? The seed wasn't just the money. It's what came out of your heart.
That's right. Amen.
Remember what I said? You sow the seed of your heart.
Amen.
When you put money in the bucket, the last thing you want to do is leave out the faith. You want to release your faith when you put the money in. Because you can put money in and never release faith. And you missed a very vital thing. The spiritual transaction didn't happen. You have to release your faith. How do you release faith in with your offering if you're not obeying what he told you to give in your heart? How do you release faith? Why? Because faith is of the heart. How do you release the faith of the heart when you disobeyed with what was in your heart? And then go, I don't know why I don't get prosperous.
That's a good word.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Iniquity must be far from us if we're going to be on God's spiritual frequency. You understand that? It has to be far from us. Anything that is not right, anything that God's dealt with us about, who you running around with? What conversations are you having? What are you watching when nobody knows what you're watching? What you're clicking on your computer? I tell you what, the sad thing is that this age of technology that's brought us so much has made iniquity so accessible.
So accessible.
Used to, if you want to do something perverted, you had to get out of your house and go down to a shop to buy a magazine or to get something, and you were at risk because people could see you come in, go out. Now all that risk is removed. It shows up right in your doorstep, where nobody, in your bedroom, in your den, and no. You can even be in the family room and be watching it, so long as the screen's not facing anyone. I cannot tell you how many Christians have fallen to the technology, the ease of technology. It just delivered iniquity right into their hands. And you, can I tell you this? Anyone who's ever fallen to that never intended to. If we're going to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, walk this life of righteousness, anything that's not pleasing to God, what about just the way you handle money? What about just cheating somebody a little bit, or just doing something a little bit underhanded? But can I tell you this? People, you can do that with men, and it'll catch up with you. But people do that with God all the time. Just a little bit cheat. Just don't give quite what He said. Cheating Him. Because when He says it, it's His. The tithe is the Lord's. It's already His. And to withhold is to cheat Him. You better put that far from you. Far from you. Why? Because all this is part of tending the seed. There's not just the planting of the seed to get a harvest. Oh, my goodness. The bulk of the time is in the what? The tending. Yeah. It only takes a moment to plant it, a moment to harvest, but it takes a season to tend to it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm looking to see if I want to go on further or not. No, I don't. We'll probably pick up tomorrow night if the Holy Ghost allows us to go this direction. But the reason I'm talking about this, I'm not just talking about it so that our lives can just, you know, get better and better. Listen, that's part of the benefit of it. We're wanting to be in position so that when the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just, we're ready. We're not trying to get ready. We're skilled in these things.
Yes, we're skilled.
Now, can I tell you this? The wealth of the sinner, it doesn't say it's laid up for the righteous. It says it's laid up for the just. He has been made our righteousness. But just is how we choose to walk. It doesn't say the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the righteous. If that's the case, then everybody in the body of Christ have been made righteous and they qualify. You got to be just.
Very good.
The wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. What's that mean? We have become skillful at the life of justness. Amen. So we talk about, I want to prosper. Then we're going to have to talk about these things. Because I would dare to say that some of us at different times have been disappointed at our level of prosperity. We've been faithful to serve, been faithful to give, but there's not been the appearance of some things. So we need to dig around a little bit and find out why. Amen. Hallelujah. His purpose will bring us into. His purpose, that's the beginning place. And so we have to start thinking in terms of His purpose. Amen? Are you helped tonight?
Amen.
Give you some things to chew on?
Yes. Yes.
Listen, every one of us debt-free.
Amen.
That's where we're headed.
Amen.
Every one of us debt-free.
Amen.
Every one of us debt-free.
Amen.
But that process may look different for different ones.
Yes.
Of how God will instruct you and what God will instruct you to do. Listen, God wants me debt free, but can I tell you this? He wants my children debt free too. He doesn't just want me debt free and then everybody else can just, you know, struggle. Just go ahead. You know, people will say things like this. When the economy change came in 2007, 2008, around in there, people will say, well, I know how to believe God. Well, aren't you selfish? But look at a lot of people who don't know how to believe God, and they're going to suffer. You know, it's not about, well, I got mine. See ya. We need to be real prosperity is interested in someone else. I said real prosperity is not just about me and mine. It's about I want us all to come. Listen, if Moses was just interested in real prosperity, he'd have dumped those people long ago. God offered it to him. I'll make of you a great nation. Let's leave them.
Yes.
And Moses wouldn't.
Yeah.
Why? Because the purpose of God is not just so you can get yours and watch everybody else suffer. God wants us all to come into it. He wants all of his children. I'm interested that we all go in. No pastor is excited to leave people behind. And if he is, he's not a pastor. A pastor's heart is we want you to get it. And if we have to talk frank with you, we'll do that because we're more interested in you getting it. Amen. Hallelujah. And some of what God is going to do to bring us into what he has for us is he's going to raise up examples. Because examples help give us some skill. When we have somebody to look at, we go, okay, now I see it play out in their life. I can replicate that. I can duplicate that. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, there's so much ahead for us in the body of Christ. There is so much ahead. And we have to have our thinking right. My. We have to have our thinking right. We have got to quit thinking in terms of our region we live in. Terms of what we were raised in. And we've got to get out of that. My. Why? Because we belong to another kingdom. We belong to a whole nother kingdom. This world we walk through, but his kingdom we belong to. And we need to think in terms of the kingdom we belong to instead of in terms of the world we're walking through.